Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Hitech Foods Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal. Thank you, and over to you, Anuj.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Hitech Foods Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mrs. N. Brahmani, Executive Director, Dr. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mr. Sridhar Kesavan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. A. Prabhakar Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Upendra Pandey, CEO of Heritage Nutrivet Limited, and Mr. Umakant Parikh, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Without any further delay, I request Dr. Sambasiva Rao to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Anuj. Good morning to everyone. We are pleased to welcome you all to this earnings call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2024. The financial results and earnings presentations have been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you must have had a chance to look at them by now. Let me take you through the financial performance for the quarter and review first. Heritage Foods achieved its highest-ever quarterly revenue, which on a consolidated basis stood at 979 crore, representing a growth of 20% year-on-year. This was driven by continued strong growth in value-added products. EBITDA for the quarter was 47 crore rupees, which grew by 18% year-on-year. EBITDA margins were reported at 4.81%. Net profit for the quarter was 22 crore rupees, which grew by 18% year-on-year, with PAT margins reported at 2.29%. For the first half of the financial year 2024, our consolidated revenue grew by 16% year-on-year to 1,902 crore rupees. EBITDA was 87 crore, representing a strong growth of 37%, with EBITDA margins improving to 4.6%. Net profit for the first half was 39 crore rupees, which has seen a significant improvement year-on-year of 49%. Now, moving on to the performance on the operational front, the value-added products portfolio witnessed strong growth of 18% year-on-year, contributing 258 crore rupees to the overall top line, with the overall VAP contribution standing at 26.8%. The average milk procurement during the quarter under review was 1.48 million liters per day as compared to 1.46 million liters during Q2 of the previous financial year, while the average milk procurement price during the quarter stood at 43.22 rupees per liter, which increased by 2.57 rupees per liter over quarter two of the financial year 2023. An average milk sale price increased by 3.89 rupees per liter year-on-year, The revenues from the sale of liquid milk for the quarter stood at 571 crore rupees, which grew by 8.5% year-on-year. Additionally, we successfully commissioned a new production facility at our existing B. Kotrakota plant in Chittoor district of Andhra Pradesh with a capacity to process 55,000 liters per day. During the quarter, the company launched new products like premium buffalo milk with 7% fat and 50 ml and 100 ml ghee jars. Lastly, on the distribution front, we continued our efforts for enhancing our geographical reach and added 437 new distribution points in the general trade. Now the floor is open for interaction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
So my first question.
Aditya, sorry to interrupt you, but we are losing your audio. Can you come in a better reception area, please?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, so my first question is regarding the gross margin. So on a QOQ basis, our procurement prices have dropped by 1.3 rupees. So even then, our gross margins have reduced. So I know the VAP share is lower in the second quarter as compared to the first quarter, but still some benefit should have been seen in the gross margins. If you could just elaborate what happened. And a connected question to this is, there has been a sharp jump in our fat revenue as well. So is this one of the reasons why the gross margins have not expanded that much?
Do you hear the part?
Yeah.
Part two?
Yeah. The second part of the question, Aditya, is concerning fat sale, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So, thank you very much, Mr. Aditya, for this question. We saw that towards the end of quarter two, the raw milk procurement prices have started coming down. In fact, we registered a marginal improvement on account of that. But most of quarter two still was managed with high raw milk procurement prices. You're looking at the quarterly numbers, you're not looking at the month-on-month improvement. But I can assure you that towards the end of the quarter, actually there was significant improvement in terms of gross margins. But that said, a couple of other factors have impacted. For example, you know that in the first quarter, we had value-added products contributing close to about 50%, whereas that has come down in quarter two as is expected. That is one. And number two, we have also had higher losses on account of fat sale, which amounted to about 11.8 crores for this particular quarter. And that is another factor which also impacted the gross margin. Out of this 11.8 crores, we were continuing to liquidate the inventory of butter that we were sitting on. You may recall that we had close to about 360 crores of inventory at the beginning of the financial year, which have substantially reduced, and in fact it has become half as we speak at the close of Q2. The liquidation of butter as the prices came down has happened at a loss as well. And that is the other factor which is impacting. So, overall business, if I look at in isolation, the continuing consumer business that we are doing, that is growing and that is growing strongly in profitability as well.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you could just talk about how has the flush season started for us. So there have been reports that the rainfall has been uneven this year. So considering that, do you expect a better flush season this year compared to last year? And how are the procurement prices trending?
Yeah, as this is Sambamurthy,
As mentioned by Mr. Srijit, this procurement prices started now coming down end of September, from mid of September onwards. There is a drop actually if you compare with the Q1 to Q2, there is a drop of procurement price at about 1 rupee. Further we are expecting further drop is going to be there in the Q3 as well. Procurement prices are coming down overall, and the procurement volumes are going up and building. That is why overall demand side, commodity demand side, also commodity like butter, SMP, the demand also has come down. People are again converting it, and commodity prices also coming down, so because of this flush season. Hoping that further prices will come down during this quarter, Q3.
If I could just add to that, what CEO has actually told you exactly what's happening in the market. Overall for the business, the good news is that the raw milk prices are coming down. The flush season is looking very normal. This is going to be a very normal procurement season for us, which means that's good news on the raw milk procurement side. While it's on the commodity side, commodities are softening. Good news is that we are very low in terms of stocks that we're sitting on. We are actually very well poised to enter the flush season at this point in time.
Got it, sir. Sir, how are the cattle feed prices trending? Are they also seeing a downward trend? Because if the cattle feed prices remain high, the milk prices wouldn't see a drop. If you could just elaborate, what are the cattle feed prices trending now?
I'll request Mr. Upendra to take this question.
Yeah. What we see is that in next one or two months time frame, cattle feed prices will be stable. Maybe from quarter four onwards, there may be some corrections, but at least in this quarter, it should be remain stable.
Okay, got it. And so one last final question. So if I look at your liquid milk sales, so the last three quarters, the growth in liquid milk sales in volume terms hasn't been that great. So could you elaborate what is leading to this?
In fact, in the first quarter, we had reported a decline in degrowth in market milk volumes, which has actually turned around. If you've seen that, we have reported 1% positive growth in this quarter. So for us, actually from a -1 to +1 is actually a good swing of about +2%. The -1% that we recorded in Q1 was primarily because of sequential price increases that we have to take to correct the profitability or to bring it in line with the raw milk prices. That market situation has stabilized, and now all the expansion that we are doing in terms of distribution is what is helping us grow. Now, while we have you should imagine that a number which was at -1%, if we ended with a quarter average of +1%, which means that through the months of July to September, it must have been an upward swing, right? So I can very well assure you that number is double that number at this point in time. So we are continuously growing milk volumes as we speak. In quarter three as well, we expect that trend to continue.
Okay.
So things are stabilizing and much better now.
Right. And going forward, as the procurement prices come down, will you pass on some of this benefit to the customers?
See, we will, usually market milk price correction happens in terms of MRP, which is the consumer price. But the net realization of the company is net of what we spend in the market to achieve our sales. So because we have the comfort of margins at this point in time, we have the luxury to spend a little bit more in terms of market expansion. But as far as consumer prices are concerned, I don't think that we will be doing any correction.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equirus PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. So my first question is that your procurement is kind of not growing and it's at around 1.48 million liters per day. This is very contrary to what you said at the start of the year with high single digit to low double digit growth in volumes. So can you please elaborate on this?
See, in currently in the procurement, actually overall procurement is about 40, without overall procurement is about 14.75 lakh liters, and last year it was 14.62 lakh liters, which is including the skim milk. Skim milk we purchased and converted into milk powder, SMP, and that also taken into the procurement. So the difference is actually we are growing, and the difference basically because of that is skim milk actually. This time we are not purchased and we are not converted because we are having milk and we are internally our own milk we are procuring it. So that is why the difference actually not visible. Otherwise we have grown by 9.8% actually in the milk procurement volume without skim milk. And coming to our own procurement, yeah, that's all.
And sir, if I look at the operating margin of...
Viraj, sorry, but your volume is coming a little low. Can you speak a little louder?
Sure. Sir, if I look at the operating margin for our company, the kind of improvement we have seen in our peers' numbers, and I'm not even talking the absolute numbers that some of the peers are reporting, double-digit margin. I'm saying just the improvement in margin for some of the peers is significantly higher than ours. We are still below 5% in margin. And on top of that, I'm worried that you are saying that we have cushion of margin. Sir, at 4.5% or quarter to 5%, I see no cushion of margins. Our aspirational number, as you had said some months ago and even few quarters ago, was 7 to 8%. So there is no cushion of margin. So can you please throw some light on this?
Okay, sure, Mr. Viraj. See, I'm speaking with the perspective of today, right? And I understand that you're looking at the numbers that got reported in retrospect. Probably that is the reason why the perspectives are slightly different. And I shouldn't have said what I said because I'm speaking with the insight that I have of or what is happening today. Now, let me just clarify. First of all, you've seen that in terms of PBT, we have improved from, let's say, about 2.55% in quarter one to about 3.14% in quarter two, right? Which is actually an improvement of about 0.6% or 60 basis points, you can say that. But if you recall, in quarter one also, we said that out of the 360 crores of inventory that we were sitting on, primarily butter, we had liquidated part of that and we had incurred close to about 10 crores of losses in that in terms of booking in terms of mark-to-market prices. And subsequently in quarter two, we had an additional loss of about 7.7 crores on account of the same, which is actually, see this was a business call at a point in time when the raw milk procurement prices were going up and it was sequentially going up. Every single week, the prices were going up. And we had showed up inventories to face a difficult year. Now, as it turned out, the milk production became normal starting from April, May itself, and the prices started coming down, which is why, as per accounting practice, we have booked those losses against the mark-to-market prices. Now, if I were to, it is not, our profits are just 3.14%, whatever we have reported. But assuming that in a continuing normal business, we do not have these kind of commodities going up and down. As we speak now, Mr. Viraj, let me assure you that we are not sitting on any inventory of commodities, not much of inventories of commodities as well as you would have seen in the balance sheet. The raw materials have come down to 180 crores. Now, assuming that we take this out and this means that our profitability in Q1 would have been 3.62% in terms of PBT and in Q2 would have been 3.86% without the butter losses that we would have incurred. Now, the reason why I said I have the cushion right now is because this 3.86 also is a weighted average of the profitability in quarter two across 3 months. Whereas, as the chief operating officer said sometime back, the prices have started coming down in the month of September, which means that our profitability is sequentially improving month on month after that. We are expecting the prices to further come down in quarter three which means that the quarter three should actually report much better than this. This is the reason why I said what I said. But coming back to, because you also mentioned about comparison with other companies, you know, we wouldn't like to compare ourselves with other companies because none of the companies have, you know, a comparable structure, apple to apple. Different companies are operating in different regions, which might give competitive advantage in certain times, a competitive disadvantage in certain other times. Different companies have different portfolio structure, which will also have its own advantages and disadvantages. But as far as we are concerned, what I want, I would like you to hold us accountable as a company is that we are committed to growing our value-added products, and you must have seen that in every quarter we have registered significant growth in value-added products. And this quarter again, we have grown value-added products by 18%. Good news is with raw material prices coming down sequentially, and if you are able to sustain the level of growth that we are recording at this point in time, so you know that in H1 itself, we have registered close to about 2,000 crores of revenue. If you're going to keep this kind of very high revenue and if profits normalize, then we are going to eventually book the profits that the street expects.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for your explanation. Just one last thing, sir. By what time, as in 5 quarters, 6 quarters, couple of years, or what revenue target do you have at which you think you can do that 8% margin?
Well, that's speculative, but let me tell you that in the coming quarters, we expect the profitability to improve for sure. This is what we are seeing basis our growth momentum. This is basis the value-added products that we continue to grow. Every month it is growing for us. So I know that this is actually improving. Procurement prices are coming down. But by when we will reach that 8% will be totally speculative to say at this point in time.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. And best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Samir Gupta.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Hey, hi, good morning, sir. And just wanted to understand this gross margin thing a bit more in detail. So you mentioned that there was a fat loss of around 12 crores this quarter. And if I remember correctly, in the last quarter also, we had booked a provision because of the fat prices coming down. And that had affected our previous quarter margins also. So unless there was a sharp markdown again in 2Q versus 1Q in fat, this 12 crore wouldn't have arisen. Am I, is this understanding?
Yes, your understanding is absolutely correct. There was, you know, sharp is a very strong adjective to use. But I would say that there was a further markdown in quarter two. So if I could just put the numbers, we had an additional close to 7 crores of additional price reduction in quarter two on account of this. Yes, you are right. So in quarter one, as per accounting standards, we had booked notional losses basis the mark-to-market price. But in quarter two, we actually liquidated the fat. And you must have seen that close to about 72 crores is the revenue that we have booked on account of fat sales as well. And the eventual loss that flowed was higher than what we had provided for. And that's what is got booked.
Got it, sir. Just to get this number right, it is 12 crore losses in 2Q of FY22, 2Q of this quarter.
So his total is 11.8 crores, yeah. But you could say that out of that about 7 crores, 7.02 crores is on account of bulk butter. Other losses that you're seeing is our regular consumer sale, which is our ghee and other things, which also we were trying to ramp up and we cut down the prices in line with the market.
Okay, got it, sir. And second question, a follow-up on this. So basically now there is a butter inventory, which you said is around 180 crores on the books. And if milk procurement prices are going to go down as per expectation, there will probably be again a loss on this fat inventory. So probably in third quarter also, this issue will impact our margins?
No. Okay? See, there could be a little bit up or down, but the 180 crores of inventory is on account of everything that we are holding at this point in time. Out of which, bulk butter, I'll give a minute and yeah. 20 crores is the bulk butter inventory. Hardly anything.
And what was this number, let's say, in the start of the year? That's 20 crore?
More than 100 crores it was.
Got it, sir. Yeah, I have a second question. I think a lot of it has been asked and answered, but just on the outlook of Milk Flush, so I understand that the initial push in this direction has been good, but just on the outlook on Milk Flush, given that, you know, there is a larger rainfall deficit in Southern Peninsula area, which is primarily the region where we operate, are we still very confident of seeing a normal Milk Flush this year?
Yeah. Procurement side, overall, it is good. Now, all the parts of our operating areas, procurement is increasing, and prices also, as we mentioned, that it's coming down, and everywhere our growth is there in the procurement areas. There is no thing that, you know, there's no procurement in south or other parts, so everywhere it is increasing because of good rains, actually, good monsoon we had and continuous rains.
Got it, sir. That's it from me. Thanks, everyone. I will come back in the queue for any follow-ups.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from GreenEdge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So again, on the fat sales, right? So historically, if I recall correctly, over the last several years, we've always booked fat losses annually, right? So on an average, you could call out what have been your fat losses over the last five, six, seven years.
We are losing your audio in between.
Okay, is this better?
Yes.
Yes, Resha, we got the question. We got the question. We got the question. Can you allow us some time, and we'll come back to you on that? Resha is asking, what has...
Hello?
This season is a bit different from earlier years because we have accumulated the fat stocks over a period of seven, eight months and disposed in this quarter. That has caused the one-time bulge of this loss. Otherwise, it would be one year, it will be little lower, one year it will be little higher over a period of five, six years, ranging from, let's say, 20 crores to 40 crores per annum kind of loss.
Oh, so is the highest.
Yeah. It ranges from 20 to 45 per annum. Different years behaves differently depending on the milk availability, commodity prices. But actual year-wise, we will take some time to pull out and give you.
Right, but-
This year it is only looking like that because, you know, we just went through a very high procurement price, and then suddenly it's all come off. You know, it's been like, you know, the turnaround in terms of prices have been significant, which is why it is so starkly standing out.
Right. But if we look at your historical average of 20 crores-45 crores of losses annually, right? So I think this year also we are pretty much on track to do that, right? So maybe we can expect a little bit of more fat losses in the coming two quarters?
No, it was not booked in the earlier periods as the stocks were sold in a short time of one month.
Okay, okay.
The spread is not there.
Right. So in H2, basically Q3 and Q4, do we expect a lot more of fat losses, like to the tune of, let's say, 10 crores-20 crores put together?
See, we do not have, at this point in time, any more butter that we need to dispose of. Whatever we are having is, you could say that the input is pretty much matching with output because we are continuously liquidating whatever surplus fat we have. That said, I wouldn't like to speculate in terms of, you know, what would be the change in prices and what kind of losses we would have. Of course, our intention is to sell all our consumer packs in profit, and our consumer sale of whether it is ghee or butter and all are growing month on month basis. So if that happens and if we are able to sell most of our fats in terms of consumer packs, then the losses would be very minimal. But if that doesn't happen and if you have to liquidate and if it's a falling market, then we might continue to have a little bit of losses booked month on month going forward as well. But we will not have, like President said presently, we don't have the accumulated 9 months or 10 months of fats to dispose of anymore. It's only whatever transactional happening on a month on month basis.
Understood, very clear. And second, on the milk sales growth, right? It's been very tepid at around 1% volume growth, right? So is this because, because of the high milk inflation over the last 15 months, do you see consumer sentiment being muted, at least on the liquid milk front? And that is why also, you know, we may have had to take more promotions and higher trade margins to boost top line growth there, and which in turn has impacted our gross margins?
No. In fact, actually, milk margins have improved tremendously. Let me assure you that, you know, we are not, whatever we are spending in terms of driving milk growth is in line with what we have always spent. So there's no excess spend there. But the numbers, volume growths have come down.
Asking about shrinkflation.
Yeah, the numbers have come down because of two reasons. Number one is because of prices going up and consumer appetite to consume had come down. Number two is we had achieved some of the NR increases by reduction of pack sizes. We call it a shrinkflation effect. And many of the packs, we have actually shrunk by almost 10 or 15%, which means that the number of packs that the consumers are buying remains the same, but volumes have shrunk by about 10-15%. So a combination of that is what has caused the volumes to come down. And now we are growing the numbers, like, you know, you could say about upwards of 2% is the kind of volume growth that we are seeing. But in terms of transaction growth, most of the packs are growing in a very healthy double-digit transaction growth.
Got it. And also, on your, what was your milk procurement price in Q2 of last year?
Okay, excuse me. Yeah. 3 minus 257.
40 rupees 37 paisa.
Yeah, 40 rupees
37 paisa.
Versus 43.22 now.
Got it. It's 43.22 right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and lastly on the EBITDA margins, right? So I think we had kind of embarked on that journey of reducing 10% of total cost or thereabouts, right, by gaining efficiency, trying to reduce sales and distribution costs and also reducing conversion costs. So where are we in that journey out of the ambition of 10% cost reduction? How much have we achieved and how much more room is left?
We are progressing on that. Several initiatives are now operating full blown, and we are, you should say that we are about, we must have covered about one third of the journey in that.
Right, and the balance journey is to be covered over the next 6 months or 18 months or what kind of a time period? Yeah.
Now, at any point in time, we have several projects that we are running in terms of value creation initiatives, which many of them will come online in Q3 as well. So that's a continuous process as far as we are concerned.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Resha. I'll request you to come back. Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Pratik, sorry, but your audio is not coming clearly.
Is this any better?
Yes, slightly better.
Yes, thank you. So my one question to reach. When we look at our on the supply side, the time of
Prateek, sorry, but again your voice is breaking. May I request you to come back in the question queue?
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anushka Chitnis from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
I just had one question that I asked. What is the share of cow milk and buffalo milk procurement in this quarter?
81-19. Cow 81, buffalo 19.
Just for this quarter, I wanted to know what was the share of cow and buffalo milk procurement.
You could say roughly around 80-20 is the ratio, 81-19 as we speak for quarter two.
Sorry?
81-19, you could say roughly 80-20 ratio.
80-20, okay, thank you so much. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you. Next question is from Nan of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, on value-added products, what was the contribution of curd for this quarter and what was the growth on year-on-year basis? And my second question is, should we expect the contribution of value-added products to improve in the quarter three considering the festivities and, you know, the overall mix might improve because the fat sales would be lower than quarter three. Considering that also even the mix should improve in Q3.
Okay, thanks for the question. So let me answer the second question first. See, we will continue to drive high growth of value-added products as we go. Continuing forward, you could expect us to continue to drive value-added products growth at a very high teens level, 18, 19, 20%, this kind of growth you could expect, and this is what we are working on. Now, the ratio of value-added products in terms of their contribution to the overall revenue will be a function of other things as well, right? Which is either the revenue, here you have seen that we have taken a higher revenue increase in milk compared to value-added products. So contribution per se of value-added products might be looking a little suppressed, or if because of festive period, fat sales might go up and hence contribution might look a little muted. But value-added products will be the one that will continue to drive growth of the revenue or top line for our company. And the first question was contribution of curd. Curd has grown at 10.5% for us in this particular quarter. And
16%.
Yeah.
So curd has grown by 16%. Overall value-added products have grown by 18%.
Perfect.
Contribution curd, share of curd.
Share of curd, 18% of.
Okay. So my third question is.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of airy sound coming from the line. Can you speak through the handset?
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. My last question is on the capacity expansion you just recently did. So, just want to understand, you know, how it is going to help you and whether we might see some efficiency coming up through this, you know, expansion.
New markets.
Yeah. So, see the capacity expansion has is a net addition of about 25,000 liters because we have also decommissioned certain capacities and reorganized towards markets which we are looking at expanding. So this particular plant where we have added or commissioned new capacities is in Chittoor district, place called B Kotakota, which gives us access to the Rayalaseema market or the market you can imagine that lies between Tirupati and Bangalore. That's the market where which this plant would be catering to. This again is a part of our growth strategy in terms of markets that we are focusing on.
Right. So in that context, the pharma addition, what you normally talk about, just a comment on that. You know, where are we currently, and what is our target on that front?
Did you mean farmer addition?
In a sense, the procurement, in terms of procurement of milk, you know, from the suppliers, what
yeah.
we have.
Already we are having procurement in that area. We are already procuring it. We have just created that packing facility, curd production facility over there.
This is more about processing and packing capacity, not procurement capacity in that area.
Oh,
what
okay.
we explained in
okay.
the.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Vandit from Alpha Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have one question being what kind of procurement number do we look by say, FY26, 2 years out?
See, we are, sometime back we had mentioned that our ambition is to grow at a rate of 15-16% year on year. And we expect half of that growth to be driven by volumes and half of it to come from price or improve, shift towards value-added products, right? Now, which means that we will have to continue growing our procurement volumes in line with the volume requirements of our company, which means that it will be either in high single digits or low double digits. So you can say about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% kind of growth we'll have to sustain to fuel this growth. And we are well on track for that.
And what kind of capex number do we look for, say, for FY25-26?
Yes, so see, we have been tracking around 100 crores year on year, and we think that's sufficient to fuel the organic growth that we are seeing or that we are anticipating.
Okay, and one last question. I think we have been doing really well on the value-added product side. If you can just talk about some initiatives which are really pushing this kind of a growth, because I think for the last 2-3 quarters year on year, we've been doing a decent number. So can you speak about what has been driving this kind of a growth?
Several things. See, first of all, I think that we are committed to offering the best product that is there in the market. Right, and which starts with understanding the consumer in terms of continuously improving our product quality. And this is not just in terms of the inherent product quality, but also the packaging and the presentation of the product to the consumer. So that is one thing that we have been continuously working on. In the last many quarters, we have actually improved whether it is our curd, paneer, ice cream. Many of these products have gone through multiple rounds of revisions, and this is a continuous process at our end. Secondly, in terms of distribution expansion, is something that we are continuously focused on. So while the core of our business, which is the fresh products, is primarily driven through traditional channels, whether it is heritage parlors, or heritage distributor network, we have added or we have invested significantly in growing the distribution through grocery channel and many other emerging channels such as e-commerce and quick commerce and all of that in the last several quarters. So whether it is in terms of adding of distributors, has today we have close to about 50,000 outlets reach in the grocery channel. We have also added close to about 160 plus heritage happiness points. We have heritage happiness points that are distribution centers, which neighborhood distribution centers, which act both as a retail store as well as a redistribution center. We have also expanded our presence across e-commerce, quick commerce, and modern trade channels. We have now, even in cities like Delhi NCR and all of that, you can pretty much buy most of our products, our value-added products on, whether it is BigBasket and Zepto and Blinkit and all of that. So those are all the things that is driving growth for us as far as value-added products are concerned.
So what could be the percentage revenue that you're getting from e-commerce and modern trade channels?
Close to about 10.5% is the revenue that we get from this channel.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from Laya Ramesh from Retail Investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. The first thing is, you have told third growth at 16% in value. What is the volume growth you had this time?
It's 10.6%.
Because I understand third brand it is going in the market. Means people are moving more to buying curd instead of buying milk. I heard from you guys only in the previous calls, in previous quarters. Is it our driven growth or it is a market growth, the 10.5%?
Okay, so it's both. So, I really won't know exactly what the market is growing at. Definitely there is momentum in the market. Because the packaged curd consumption is on the rise, and which is primarily driven by some of the leading brands, right? Which also includes Heritage somewhere right at the top. So it's a function of a bunch of brands, including Heritage, driving this growth, and consumer adoption is happening.
Okay. And the second thing is on butter. Means I know so many questions came in this call. Only thing is how much metric ton of butter we sold in month. You want to give somebody?
Total for 21.5 liters.
Oh, how much did we sell?
1978 tons.
89.
Close to
2000. Yeah, roughly close to 2000.
So the same question, Samir had asked you a question. On 10.5 crores, I did not get much clarity on it. In last quarter, as I remember. So this quarter you are saying we have booked 11.8 crore loss. Is it after setting off that provision what we have made in Q1 or is it additional to that provision, that 11 crore?
So you, the two numbers are different. See, 10 crores that we mentioned in Q1 was notional loss on butter stocks. That was not the fat loss.
Yes.
Because the fat loss was slightly higher than that because we also sell in consumer packs, ghee and butter and all that. Right?
Okay.
And in the 11.8 crores that you're calling out in Q2 is the total fat loss, out of which only 7 crores is on account of butter. The balance is...
In addition to 10 crore loss of Q1, you're saying 7 crore additional loss in Q2.
You could say that cumulatively in H1, we might have had to book a loss of about 16.5-17 crores on account of the butter prices coming down.
Okay, understood. And can't we...
Which is,
So, my follow-up thing was, can't we use this butter as our advertising strategy for milk and curd or some value added? We can use our butter or fat products for our advertisement instead of spending in other advertisements? Just a suggestion or something. Can we use...
It's a good suggestion, but see, at the end of the day, we have to balance everything, right? See, what is not visible here is the revenue growth that we are seeing in terms of our consumer packs. So we also sell 100 gram, 200 gram butter, like you see the Amul butter, right? So if you come to our core markets, whether it is Hyderabad or Bangalore and Chennai and all, you will see strong presence of Heritage butter on all shelves, retail shelves. The consumer pack of butter for us is growing very strongly. But however, in a month, we sell close to about 60-70 tons of butter in consumer packs. Now, 60 or 70, which is about roughly, you could say about 2 tons, close to 2 tons per day is what we sell. Now, even if we sell, even if we grow that by 100 times, it will still not, like, you know, you, I hope you understand, right? The mismatch in terms of numbers. So we are growing, the consumer packs are growing for us at in very high double digits or even in some cases even triple digits. But still those numbers are not significant enough to compensate this kind of huge inventory that we might have.
Okay, understood. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avinash from NAFA Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So I noticed that your value-added products grew at 18%, while your milk has grown by 9%. Could you just give us a breakup on margins from each of these, Q on Q and Y? Thank you.
Sorry, we couldn't hear you.
He's asking for margins of milk and value-added products.
EBITDA.
Yes, EBITDA margins. Good morning, sir. My name is Prabhakar. EBITDA milk Q2 EBITDA margin of milk is 5.36%, and the value added products margin is 8.34%, curd particularly curd 7.92%, buttermilk 12.74%, ice cream 11.67%. Overall 4.37%.
Thank you. Similarly, Y on Y?
Sorry?
Year on year, what was the margin?
Year on year.
Okay, these are EBITDA percentages that we said. We were not talking about the change.
No, this is EBITDA percentage.
Fine, okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Next question is from line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My first question is on the procurement volume. So you talked about in order to achieve 15 to 16% overall company level growth, we need get high single digit or low double digit kind of procurement growth. At the same time, you talked about the impact of inflation, that although the number of packets are growing at double digit, but the volume growth is very low single digit, 1-2% only. So if you can talk about from which quarter, is it like Q3, Q4, or it will happen only next year, do we see this high single digit kind of growth in procurement?
No, see, there are two different things. I think, one, I was responding to the gentleman who asked about what will be the procurement in 2026. Okay, so I was, when I said the high single digit or low double digit, the number was, you know, you could say, you know, with a long-term perspective, right? Now, that means that, you know, it doesn't mean that every quarter or every month we'll be growing at that rate, right? The procurement will be growing or slightly growing less based on the cyclicity of the milk supply that is there. That's the raw milk supply side. The second question what you're asking about is the growth, right? Even though milk is growing at 1%, value-added products are growing strongly in double digits in terms of volumes also. Right, just now you heard that curd itself is growing at 10.6%. So overall, our requirements of solids or milk per se is continuing to grow. So we'll have to bring in the milk to cater to that demand. That growth is only going up for us. There was a small tapering of growth at the time when we took the consumer prices up. For the last several months, consumer prices are stable, or rather the increase in consumer prices have been marginal. We continue our distribution expansion, and our volume growth on the market side is continuing to grow, which means that looking forward, we will require the raw milk at that rate.
Mm-hmm. So for H2, what kind of volume growth do you see in procurement?
So, sir, that's what I was saying, that you know we will need to grow our raw milk procurement at the rate of 8, 9, or 10% to sustain the market requirement of growth, because market will also grow at that rate, right? And are sustained over a long period in time. I mean, it may not be, I may not be talking about one quarter or two quarters here. I'm talking about slightly longer perspective if you look at it. That's the kind of growth that we'll have to drive, both in procurement as well as sales side.
Okay. So H1 maybe was an aberration, and you are saying maybe H2 onwards you'll see that kind of growth, because we need this growth to continue our growth in value-added products.
Yeah, okay. Okay. H1 was a long period, so you should look at Q2 and Q1 separately, but that's fine.
Sure, sir. My second question is on the value-added side. So, out of the 260 crore kind of sales we did, if you can talk about the non-curd portfolio. So, how are, you have talked about margins, but in terms of growth, which are the segment, example, paneer, ice cream, which are growing quite well for us? And also, sir, I'm linking this with the margin you talked about in different value-added products. So, it seems much lower than what other players make. I understand we don't have the scale yet, maybe in some of the products like ice cream and all those things. So, on the whole basket, value-added, if this kind of growth continues, do you think, say, in the next year or year after that, we can see a good double-digit kind of margins on this value-added portfolio rather than high single-digit?
Sure. So, I'll take the second part of the question first, and then we'll give you the growth numbers we are seeing. The Chief Operating Officer will call out some of the growth that we are seeing in some of the products. Maybe not all the products, but some of the products, right? So, see, in terms of margins, we have, in most of the time, value-added products will roughly deliver double the margins of milk, right? Now, while we took milk prices up, corrected the milk prices in line with the raw milk price increase, we did not do so much of correction in the value-added products, because we are still continuing to drive volume growth in value-added products, right? Which is why the gap between value-added products and milk in terms of percentages have come down a little bit. Like, while milk EBITDA is close to 5.6%, value-added products is about 8.5%. So, but that's at this point in time, we are in a very strong position as far as value-added products are concerned. And at any point in time, we can make those price corrections and all of that, and that EBITDA will consequentially improve as we go forward. So that's just a point in time. And the idea is to bring more and more contribution from value-added products, so that weighted average EBITDA of the company grows and moves towards the 8% margin, which is our North Star. Yeah. Now, while I hand over to you.
Yes. Value-added products, other than the curd, paneer is growing by 28%. And ice cream is growing by 45%. And the total drinkables, it is growing by 28%. So, there is a good growth in the value-added products other than curd as well.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So, what was the procurement price at the start of the quarter, say in July, and what were they at the end of the quarter in September?
July to September. He's trying to see how much drop.
Okay.
we may not ready.
Yeah,
ready. Yes.
Yeah,
Q1 it is there. Q1
close, right?
Yeah.
Is it average?
Yeah, average. It's July, he's asking. Beginning of Q2.
Yeah.
He's trying to see July.
Yeah, how much price would have come down from beginning to end of quarter?
See, overall Q1 to Q2, 1 rupee 36 paisa per liter has come down. July to then, that is.
We'll have to verify.
Yeah, we'll have to come back to you on that. But you could say that there was a good decline from July to September.
Got it. And sir, this 43.5 which we gave in our press release, so that is for the average of the quarter, right?
That is right.
Okay. And sir, my last
question. Aditya, your voice is breaking.
Aditya, we are unable to hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Aditya, sorry, but we are losing your audio. Can you please come in a better reception area?
Hello, am I audible now?
Sir, we can hear you, but then your voice is breaking.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, so the spread per liter which we are making on liquid milk and VAP product like curd now, are they back to pre-COVID levels or at the level which we make in a normalized environment, or we are still some time away before reaching those levels?
What is that? Pre-COVID levels, volumes.
What? Volumes.
Are you talking volumes, Mr. Aditya? Could you please clarify?
Spread per liter. The spread per liter which we make on liquid milk or on VAP products like curd.
Right.
Yeah.
Spread per liter.
Spread per liter. We are still below COVID numbers, actually. So we're still way below that.
Okay. Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I will now hand the conference over to Dr. Rao for closing comments.
Thank you very much for all the participants for raising interesting questions and giving details. So we look forward to interact with you again after the next quarter. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.